What's up, everybody? This is Randy.
This is Fernando.
And we have some awesome guests with us today, some awesome friends of ours. So,
yeah, you do.
Welcome, Hannah and Macy.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
So we mentioned it last time that we were going to collab, hopefully have a collab set up, so we're really happy to be here. So you guys started your podcast, the Heavy Flow Cast, like, what, 2 months ago?
Really recently. We are on episode 5.
We actually started a while back. That's true. And we just didn't know how to get it going.
Right on.
We recorded some episodes, and they sat for a while, and then we finally got it all together.
What drove you guys to want to start it?
Quarantine. We were bored, and
I feel like quarantine just drives you to do, like, abnormal shit in general, so
yeah.
And we were like, oh, our life is so cool, like we thought it was like really interesting at the time.
I mean, I don't know, we also just, you know, I feel like it put everybody in a weird situation. We went from, you know, slowly casually dating to not slowly casually dating because we were quarantining together.
Well, we actually thought it was a good idea because we're both artists in two different ways, you know. And we wanted to like collab and come up with something that could introduce ourselves to an audience in a different way other than pictures and Instagram and stuff like that. So we really wanted to get people to get to know us.
Yeah,
it's funny you mentioned that because that was going to be a question for me, is both of you are artists and that's kind of the way you go. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I guess for our listeners, if you could give us a quick background, like what would your Instagram bio define you as?
Yeah, what's your Hinge bio?
Oh my God, do you want to go there? Go ahead.
Like athlete? Public figure? No.
Influencer?
Oh, God.
Really not.
Please no.
I honestly, like, I adore and hate Instagram at the same time, you know, because it is a good platform to be able to get yourself out there, but it's also, like, can be really negative.
Yeah,
in a
super
way.
Toxic.
Yeah, but I've never been the person to, like, want to, like, gloat and boast about myself. And when I started fighting, I always really hated that about people, was the fact that, like, oh, you had to, like, show people, like, I'm this person, you know, instead of just doing your thing. But no, I've been fighting MMA for 8 years now. And,
Yeah.
Right on.
That's,
I mean, I don't, like, I don't, we're gonna get this is what I, like, this is, but this is, we're just being brief right now.
Yeah.
Okay. I am a musician and a college professor and teacher, and that's about it.
Yeah, so Hannah and I met back in CrossFit like what, 4 or 5 years ago?
It was longer than that.
I think it
had to have been longer than that.
I feel like it was 2016 or 2015.
I guess 5 would be right. You're right, it was probably 20, because I moved to Texas in 2014, so probably 2015.
Because I was still going to school at UNT.
Yeah, that's a while.
Yeah, and I started going to CrossFit.
It's such
because
a different
of Sumner,
way.
Yeah.
God.
I haven't talked to Sumner in forever, but yeah, he was the one that got me to CrossFit, and then I became friends with you over there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Randy moved to Dallas before I did, and then once I moved to Dallas, I joined the CrossFit gym he was a part of, and then we both decided we were over CrossFit.
Yeah, and then we went to Fortis MMA in Deep Ellum, and that was where you two
and
met.
Then here we are. That's where Macy trains.
How was that experience?
Going,
like,
to Fortis?
What was the first class you went to?
It was
together.
It was great. It was good.
Yeah,
was it a 6 a.m.?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the fitness classes.
Well, first of all,
was
we didn't
MMA
know.
Fit?
It was MMA Fit.
Yeah.
We did not. It was with Coach, and we did not know that the class doesn't actually start till 6:15 because nobody knows that unless you're a member.
Right.
So we showed up bright and early at like 10 till 6.
Yep.
Ready to go.
No one was there.
Yeah, I think Coach Darius was there, and he kind of looked at us like, "Do you know the class actually starts at 6:15?"
Right.
So
yeah,
we were the over eager first people to the party.
Well, and
to
be fair, like, you had to leave very early too at the time because you were still at, I forget where you were.
But that was your first class, though, right?
It was.
I mean, usually when you show up to class and you show up late, you're gonna be that person running around the labs.
We were fucking
ready.
I'm gonna tell you,
ready to go.
There's nothing more like to, like, really piss off a coach or an instructor than to be brand fucking new and show up super late.
Which we did not.
Yep.
We did not. So yeah, and then we just,
especially 6 a.m. classes.
Yeah. I kind of felt,
if you're gonna come
that
early, you better. Yeah, you're beyond fucking time.
And I think we both got along with Coach really well. And
it was.
I loved it immediately. I joined that day.
Do you remember?
No.
Worked really hard and sweated a lot. That's
you
what
don't
I remember
what you did.
Yeah.
We left and we were like,
Yeah, I was like, I have not been this beat up in a minute.
I would also like to say that was exactly 2 years ago, like this week.
Was it really?
It was. Holy and shit. I am like 20 pounds lighter now than I was then.
Hey, cheers. Let's drink
some.
So,
not that weight is everything, but I needed to slim down a little bit. So,
dude, you were fine.
I was fine. I was fine and I was healthy and I'm way healthier now. So,
hey, here we go.
Shut up.
Hey, I think the best form of fitness is being like able to do a lot of things, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of like just one single thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, as an athlete, how do you feel about the whole functional training push that
you mean
people
like,
do?
You mean like functional patterns?
I don't
or
know
what do you mean?
Just like functional fitness in general, and that
some people like they're very specific to a specific like sport.
Yeah, so it's like
or
I do powerlifting, or I do bodybuilding, or I do MMA.
Oh, like sticking in one genre, of,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think sport specific training is really important because, but I also think being able to actually like perform and do well in a lot of things is really good too.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you should limit yourself as a person or an athlete. Whether you're just like a casual person, like just wanting to be really fit, or an athlete, I think you should be able to do a lot of things. I think that's the biggest form or best form of fitness.
Yeah, because functional training is one thing, but I know CrossFit gets a lot of shit for wanting to do too much at the same time.
Well, CrossFit is a specific sport, right. And like they're trying to be better at that thing, right? I mean, maybe there are other ways that you can be better at CrossFit.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I don't, you know, I've gone through a lot of cycles with CrossFit because I don't want to shit on CrossFit, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a lot of really good stuff in it. I just personally, I enjoyed it. I met some wonderful people doing CrossFit. I enjoyed the community aspect of it, but I was getting injured all the time.
Yeah. And it was your back and shoulders, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, that goes the same for like people who do MMA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it just depends like on how like committed you are to it.
Right.
If you are an actual athlete and you want to succeed in that sport and you like I mean you're a professional you are going to experience injuries. It's with anything that you do that you overdo it.
And I was a person who I came in with some I have like a chronic shoulder injury and so there was so many things that I could not do in CrossFit because I would dislocate my shoulder, and so I felt like I was it just didn't fit with me. So I think it's such a personal thing, because when I went into like training in any form like MMA, jiu-jitsu, anything like that, it suits me so much better because I really like certain things and I'm good at certain things, and CrossFit just did not fit with
my you're constantly putting that like pressure on that one area,
the one area that was injured all the time.
I also think like a lot of gyms like can get a bad rap, like if you are just a person who's trying to do like the sport or just getting fit in general, like people call like their gyms CrossFit gyms, you know, but you can program it however you want, right? You don't have to actually like do what the professional CrossFit athletes are doing.
Nor should you in those cases.
Well, yeah, of course. And also they are professional athletes for a reason. Like they've been doing most of like gymnastics and stuff for most of their life, you know?
Yeah, well, even Braden, who owns CrossFit Argyle, shout out to CrossFit Argyle and Braden Ruby and Jackie Ruby.
They're so cool.
Yeah, Braden was doing gymnastics long before he had got into CrossFit and played football, so he had this great athletic base going into it.
Well, and same with like where we were training here, CrossFit Deep. It's a great gym.
Yeah, shout out to Eric Rosenstock.
Yeah, he's great, and he was a weightlifter, right? And so, I mean, I think it just kind of depends on where you're at and what you're doing.
Ego is also a big problem, right, in CrossFit sometimes. Like, you go into some of these boxes
me,
and, like,
me for
everybody
sure.
wants to be able to keep up with everyone else. And so it's tough. Because, I mean, a power clean is not a power clean. A power clean is multiple moves at the same time, right? So if you go in there wanting to do a power clean from the beginning, like, it's not going to work out.
Right. And, like, for me as someone, like, I've just always had a strong deadlift. Like, I'm almost at 500-pound deadlift.
Well,
but
you're just fucking strong, though.
Oh, thank you.
Like, you're so strong.
Thank you. Yeah. But like, for me going from, like, deadlifting to learning how to power clean, it's not the same movement, but, like, that's how I want to treat it. And I had to learn how to, like, no, you have to dip your hips lower and you have to be more upright. And it's just different variations on a similar movement.
Well, I think, I mean, like, as a non-professional athlete, I think you have to do what works for you, right? And so I mean I'm a person who I routinely train 2 to 3 times a day. I'm very into fitness, but I also am not a professional athlete. So I have to do what makes me happy, what makes me feel good, what makes me excited to train. And so for me with CrossFit, I was just getting to a point that I was having a really hard time going because I was not inspired.
You were getting beat up all the time.
I was not excited. I couldn't do half the shit. Like, I just got to the point that I just felt it just, I was having a hard time going, and I'm a person who's always liked to exercise. So I was like, if I'm having this hard of a time going to exercise, this is not the right thing for me, which is when we found Fortis, because Randy and I had this conversation.
Right. And to Hannah's point, before I'd met Macy, I'd never like met anyone who had the cardio endurance that you have. Like whenever we had any running thing, I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is ridiculous.
That's from flute though.
That is from.
Swear to God, if her life depended on it, and you had to run a mile as fast as you can, I bet you would run it in 5 minutes.
That's interesting.
Swear to God.
That's interesting because I feel like I have a really good like lung capacity because I played saxophone for 7 years and did marching band.
And so
I feel like I did well in CrossFit just because I had built up that capacity and knew how to like control my breathing.
That's another really weird.
Yeah, but what is the air level compared to saxophone?
Flute takes a lot more.
Flute takes a lot more.
But that's another really weird connection that Randy and I have because he was a music major at UNT, which is where I got my doctorate for.
Which is crazy. You didn't meet at UNT. You met somewhere
else.
It's
not actually crazy if you know UNT because
UNT's a math program. I also dropped out of the music program my first semester.
UNT is the biggest music program in the world. It's incredible. Incredible, but it is so massive. I honestly, like, I cannot imagine having gone there for anything but my doctorate just because it's so massive that there were doctoral students in flute that I never met.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Because there was so many of us. Like, it was insane. Wow. It's huge. Yeah. There's how many? I don't even know how many bands they have now. Tons of bands.
When I was there, I think it was 5 concert bands.
It's way more now.
Yeah.
I want to say it's 7 or 8 now.
Jesus.
How big is the concert band?
I mean, I was in the Wind Symphony, which was the top one, and there was I don't even want to throw out a number. I don't know. I think there was like 60 of us, maybe.
That's where I was going to peg it.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
An incredible group. Professor Corporon. I actually just talked to him on Facebook this week. He is a legend. He's incredible. But I honestly didn't know.
But it's over
1,000
people part of bands, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's just the concert side.
That's
of things,
just the
too.
Concert.
But the thing is, like, you guys spend so much time like in your craft that I mean, where do you find the time to meet people?
You don't.
Like, you don't, right? So. I guess now when you put it that way, I understand why you guys never met.
It's really, we never, I was in classes and never, I mean, I never, I was a teaching fellow, so I taught a lot of undergrads, but other than that, I didn't.
Yeah,
really. I understand the sentiment, because I mean, I'm an engineer, right? So I went to Texas A&M University, there's 60,000 people on campus, and there's X number of thousand people in engineering. And so people come and say, didn't you meet the so-and-so at engineering? I'm like, no, like, we're just so caught up, like, we're in our own dungeon, like, we don't meet other majors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Macy majored in engineering for a while.
Minor.
Did you
really? Minor, yeah.
Wait, where at?
At UNO. Oh, University of New Orleans.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right on.
And then I was really into it.
You're like,
ended up going the biology route, which is completely fucking opposite.
Yeah.
Right, and then you decided you want to beat people up for a living.
Yeah. Actually, I started fighting, right when I got into college, and it was, like, a hobby for me, and I would, like, remember sitting in class, like, I'd rather be in jiu-jitsu or...
But aren't you glad you stuck it out and got that degree?
Oh, my God, of course. No, I knew I was going to finish college. Like, I always... That was a point in my life that I was like, I have to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to do this.
Yep.
And, you know, especially with the bad rap that people get with, like, fighters, they're like, oh, they're fucking stupid.
Bunch of jocks, and that's not true.
Yeah, no, that's not true.
Especially, like, now that I've gotten more immersed into, like, the jiu-jitsu culture, I'm like, these are some of the smartest people I've ever been around.
It is the most intellectual thing.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, when we first went to Fortis, Saif was like, hey, you should probably do jiu-jitsu. You'd probably really like it.
I remember Saif telling us both that we would like jiu-jitsu, and we were both like, okay. Fast forward. Like a year and a half when I started
my,
doing it.
My coach from New Orleans, Sean Gayton, he like before I started working with Sean, I was working with this other guy at another gym, and they were all like pre-med and stuff, like, I mean, very anatomical the way they taught, and I really fell in love with it because I was like, wow, like, this shit is like on a different level, like intellectual type thing. So I really enjoyed it, and I always felt like I was learning something new constantly, and it was like challenging me.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
So we all do.
I do too.
You do some jiu-jitsu too,
right? Yeah. So I started jiu-jitsu like 3 weeks ago. And funny enough, Hannah texts me like this week, and she's like, excuse me, because I got posted on their Instagram page. And Hannah's like, excuse me, when did you join this?
Randy just never mentioned jiu-jitsu. I've been doing it for.
What if he would have posted a picture of him in like a purple belt or some shit?
Bullshit, he bought it.
At least it was a white belt. Like, okay, you just started.
Yeah. I don't care how strong Randy is.
I was just like, Randy and I are really good friends. And yeah. I was like, excuse me. We like,
where do you go? Macy.
I'm
Sharp and Iron Academy in Plano.
Okay.
But I got my blue belt at Gracie Baja in Carrollton.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool.
So the funny part of this is Hannah texts me that and she's like, hey, by the way, that's where Macy goes. And I was like, oh, no shit. So yeah, it was funny.
Because you train MMA at Fortis and then you go to
Marcus Analante.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when Josh and LaRons were teaching a lot at Fortis, I was going there. Mm-hmm. And they had classes like right before MMA. So it worked more with my schedule. But there's no way I'm going to like get home from class at like 10:30 p.m. and then go to 6 a.m. jiu-jitsu. So the time started like getting a little weird. And Marcus was actually like the original person that taught jiu-jitsu at Fortis.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And am I correct in this? He gave LaRons ran his black belt.
Full or, yeah. Yes. Yeah. LaRons is a black belt underneath Marcus.
Okay. And LaRons teaches at Fortis.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I also found out this week like what it really takes to be a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I have so much more respect for
about
I'm like
eight
okay.
to 12 years.
I'm like, cool, I'll set this for my like
except
my
unless you're like Gordon Ryan or some shit.
So I mean most of those guys have like what, 8 years of judo and a bunch of backgrounds.
I think it only took like Gordon Ryan like a few years though.
So
3 or 4 years to get a black belt.
You're a blue belt? Uh-huh. And okay, so purple belt, and then Randy and I'm like white belt. I'm a striped white belt.
Oh, I've been a purple belt for 3 years.
Listen, Hannah. I've
2 years.
So. I've done 2 jiu-jitsu classes. I'm pretty
but that's
sure I'm
because
an expert.
I don't really do gi much. I do a lot of no gi. Yeah. So.
Well, so it's actually been really because I went to maybe 2 classes because I was going to Fortis all the time, and LaRons finally called me out. He saw me constantly going to the striking classes, and he was like, excuse me, when are you going to just pop over here to jiu-jitsu? So I did, and I got a black eye in my second class. And I also had some guy accidentally just pick me up entirely by the crotch and slam me down. And LaRons was like, no, through the legs, legs. So then quarantine happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then so during that, we bought some mats for my apartment.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about
this. Yeah, and so Macy started kind of working with me there. So I've been kind of, and then when everything kind of started to open back up, I started going all the time.
Go ahead. I was going to say, by the way, I saw like the workouts you two were posting on Instagram, and I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I freaked the fuck out. I was like, okay, I was talking to my strength and conditioning coach, and I was like, oh my God, like if they shut it down, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Because like if you're a fucking pro athlete and then you like, you're in like combat sports, like you need to be ready to go.
Yeah,
like
there's no off season for you guys.
Yeah, didn't you have a warm up where you ran around like White
Seven
Rock
and a half
Lake?
Miles.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like,
we were in this marathon training phase for a while.
We were going to run a marathon in April. We were up to 15.
Dude,
miles.
We ran 5:30. We ran we ran 5 or 6 miles with that weighted vest.
Yeah. Oh, we were
with a
12
pound weighted vest, and we were at like an 8 minute pace.
Uh-huh. We were ready to go. And then everything shut down, so we tried to maintain it. But we also were trying...
We burn ourselves out, though.
Because Macy could not train with anyone, right? She couldn't. So we were trying to teach me how to hold for her, but that is a terrible idea. We decided for the good of our relationship, we should stop doing that. And then...
Yeah.
Because holding mitts is an art.
Oh, I know.
And it's extremely difficult. And also,
yeah,
Macy,
but then when we started doing jiu-jitsu, it became a domestic violent thing.
My dog thought Macy was killing me.
Oh, shit.
He hated her for 2 months.
Aww.
He thought she was hurting me. We finally figured out that's what was going on because he was like, he's always, I mean, you know him, right?
Yeah.
He is the best boy.
Shep is
he
my favorite.
He started spite shitting on my floor. While I was in the shower, like while I was home.
He did try to attack me one time.
I got attacked by my cat doing the same thing.
He growled at me.
I was trying to do jiu-jitsu with my fiance, and it did not work out well.
Yeah.
Your
yeah.
cat?
So,
your
yeah.
cat?
That's so funny. Yeah. Well, she...
I have 2 cats. One cat tried coming after me, but he was biting and scratching, and then the other cat tried defending me, so they started fighting.
It just sounds like a general cat.
Yeah. No. These are like super chill cats.
It sounds like a fucking cat.
No, they were chill cats.
We finally figured it out.
Wants to kill you 1 minute and then like loves you.
Shep has never shown aggression toward a human in my experience. And I've had him for like almost 6 years.
Yeah.
And he has never.
Towards a dog, though. He'll fight any dog.
He'll fight a dog.
Yeah.
He growled at her. He was pissed. Damn. And we finally figured out.
He actually tried to bite me.
He like jumped up and yeah, he was super pissed.
Damn.
And we finally figured, he was just not acting like himself. And we finally figured out it was because he would just be super attentive while we were doing jujitsu. And at one point I grunted really loudly because she, you know, I don't know, threw me or something. Right. And
she beat the shit out of you. Yeah.
And I was like, buddy, it's okay. It's fine. And he just really like, and then when he was like spite shitting on the floor, it was where the jujitsu mats were. Okay. And I really think that that was part of the problem.
That's so really interesting.
It was
really
fuck you. So, I'm going to shit where you guys train.
Yeah. It was
so, I want to point out the funny thing about Fernando's cats is the cats are both like representative of Fernando and his fiance's personality. Yeah.
So, no, it's legit.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
What kind of cats are they?
Are they like Siberian Himalayans? Like, they're really fluffy flat cats. Yeah.
One of them's really cool.
Yeah, they're super chill cats, but I mean, for the most part, they act like dogs. Like, they're not the type of cats that just lay in the corner and just completely ignore you. They want to be on you and like kissing you and like,
yeah,
it's different. Yeah.
Do you like walk them and shit? Do you go outside with them?
We have leashes for them. Yeah.
Oh my fucking god! The ultimate cat daddy. Yeah.
Macy,
we have backpacks. We take them on bike rides.
You have like the backpack so with like the little like.
I'm gonna take this really far.
It's like a little globe. It's like you don't have that.
You don't
now?
Have any of it.
Oh, you're gonna get it.
He's saving up for the backpack with the globe on it.
I like really admired you just now. No, but whatever.
We want to have that though. But the thing is, because we live in apartments, there's like fleas and dogs everywhere outside. So
it's not good to bring them outside.
I don't want to risk it.
Yeah.
Macy and her dog T are the same. They're the same.
Yeah, Macy, I love your dog.
They're. She's an I'm asshole. Telling you, living with both of them, they are the same. And they treat each other the same. It's hilarious.
I'm going to take us on a tangent here for a minute. As professional athletes and professional musician, you know, you guys have to perform at the highest level of, I guess, the peak, right? I'm curious, how do y'all keep your shit together when you have all eyes on you in your different professions?
I think for most people, you know, together? That's what I was about to say. Like, we're just really good at hiding it.
I don't know that
most of the time I'm losing my shit, to be honest.
But how do you still perform, right? I mean, even though you're losing your shit, so like the whole premise of the podcast is like dealing with life stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so we both Randy and I are very focused on like the stoic philosophy of just being able to keep your composure and just moving forward. And so because you guys have to, again, perform at the highest level, I'm interested, like, how do you not go crazy in your own mental, I guess in your brain, as you're performing?
Well,
as we're performing, I think it's like all about how you channel it.
Yeah, I also want to add to that because like I know you diet for your fights coming up,
oh,
and I'm
God,
like
yeah.
I've like because I used to be 300 pounds, like I know what dieting is like. That's not fun. So like I have the utmost respect that you keep your cool because I remember you started dating Hannah while you were dieting.
Yeah,
was
she
like,
was in a fight. She was
yeah.
She
I was
was
like,
in a
I'm
camp.
Sure you can get
and
through
Hannah's
that.
Just telling me good things about you. I'm like, man, like Macy must be really fucking cool.
Randy actually said to me, he was like, okay, well, if you guys are good. And Macy is nice to you while she's in fight camp. Like, that's got to be a really good sign.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also, like, warned you. I was like, I may
no, you're super,
be
no,
a bitch.
I feel like you're extremely honest about what, and that was, for me, that was everything. Because, sure, you may be a bitch sometimes. I mean, you know, we all are.
I mean, we all are, yeah.
But
yeah.
You always are very self-aware about if you are feeling a certain way for a certain reason. Anyway, that's a tangent. How do you keep your shit together? And then I'll go.
I don't know. I've just always like, I've always had to like hype myself up and like talk to myself. Like before I go out there, I'm like, okay, don't be a fucking bitch. Like, this is your time. Like, I have a conversation with myself and I always pace and like, you know, talk to myself and reassure myself that you're here for a reason. Like, there's no mistakes. You know, you got yourself here for a reason. And I think it's just all about reassurance and how to channel, because I'm so nervous when I'm back there. I'm fucking like, oh my God, like, I hope she passed out and we can't fight. You know, like, you're like, fuck, I don't want to go out there, you know? And then, like, you go out there, you do it. And then after, you're like, holy shit, I want to do it again, like, right now.
Right.
Did that visualization come, like, in college, or was it one of your coaches?
When I wanted to.
Like, the way you just project and the way you think about, like, I need to get in the zone.
To be honest, it's something that I've developed with myself. Like, and it's something that I've had to like talk with myself over and over again. And it's a lot of failure. And then it's like getting back on the horse and doing well. And you're not always going to have the best run. You're going to fail a few times, but it's what you learn about failing. And I think that's like what's helped me grow and going through those hardships. And people just have to kind of like be vulnerable sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are a human being.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, you're going to have those shitty moments.
Yeah.
And it's all about how, like, whether or not you're going to say, no, not today. Like, I'm going to be on top.
So Macy, let me ask you, because you won the Ultimate Fighter. What was it? Ultimate Fighter 28?
Yeah.
So do you feel like that prepared you a lot for just like, because you were going to be on camera and you had all these different eyes on you, do you feel like that helped prepare you just because you were thrown into the fire, so to speak, to just like, okay, I have to manage this and I have to manage the stress or I'm not going to be able to perform? Do you feel like that was a big catalyst for you to just go into all of your fights moving forward?
To be honest, like when I was on the show, I didn't think about any of that. Mm. And I think that was my biggest, downfall now is that I think too much. And like when I was on the show, I was like, I don't care. Like it's mm-hmm. I need to just talk to myself and
I'm here for this.
Yeah. Like and have time with myself. And I think a lot of the people who were on the Ultimate Fighter were like having trouble. Like they were like, they didn't know how to deal with it. And like if I had something going on, like personally, I would just like go somewhere by myself. Like I would go in the backyard and like pull a chair out and like just chill and be with my own emotions. And I kind of like watched everyone else like lose their shit and unfold, you know. And I almost like enjoyed being on the Ultimate Fighter because I could like actually see people for who they were. And then when I got in the cage, I'm like, I know exactly who you are.
So I really love that answer for a lot of reasons. But the biggest reason for me is when you just said, I deal with my emotions and I would go outside and I would just handle them by myself. I love that because I know so many people who will just bottle things up and not deal with it and just say, okay, I need to just decompress for a second and understand what I'm dealing with so I can move forward. So I love that answer.
Or even that answer about like grabbing a chair. I thought you were going to say, I launched a chair. Yeah. I was like, no, it went the way that I was hoping to hear. Right. And so it sounds like a lot of processing.
Yeah. Well, I think like what's important for a lot of artists just in general, like even like you, Hannah, like, you know, performing in front of a lot of people is like, you need to understand like who you are and you have to have those moments by yourself.
And
you have to talk to yourself.
I feel like for me, it's really interesting because I am equal parts performer and teacher. And so I have to try to know what works for me. But I also find myself in the position a lot of trying to help someone else know what works for them.
Everyone's different.
Always different. And I have to really judge between my students, like who needs me to hype them up? Who needs me to leave them the fuck alone? Mm-hmm. Like who needs me to calm them down? Who needs get out there and just quit being a bitch and do it. And and who needs me to be like, you're awesome. Like you've got this sort of a thing. But yeah, for me, I think I am very hard on myself and it's going to be really rare that someone else is harder on me than I am on myself after a performance, like any teacher, any mentor, any judge. And so for me, I have to really focus on the positive. And for what I discovered is that I get very, if I focus on the outcome is really bad for me because music is so subjective, right? Yeah. So like I can really pour my heart. I've taken auditions where I nailed it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nailed it.
I mean, I feel the same way, like focusing on the outcome.
Yeah. It
like,
doesn't
work
for me.
You have to be in the moment.
Yeah.
You have
because,
to be in the moment.
Because, and especially in music, like even if
when you get there and it's like, win or lose, like it's over.
Yeah. And for me, what I think for me, a big thing was that I was finding, and it took me until, I mean, I think it was when I was getting my doctorate that I actually discovered this. Cause I've always really liked to perform. I like an audience. I do better for an audience. But for me, I found that every time I was performing, as soon as I would get off stage, I would be like, oh my God, I want to go do it again. Now that I've calmed down, I want to go do it again. And so at some point in my doctorate, I was reading a lot of books. I was doing a lot of like meditating and things like that. But I was also discovering, what if I just went out there and just enjoyed it while I was actually
doing it
rather than enjoying the leading up and enjoying the after effects and enjoying, you know, rather if I just was like, oh my God, look what I'm fucking doing
I
right now. This is so great. And
that
changed that everything
until like, I've like thought back to like how I felt after I fought. Was like, you know,
same
like,
for me.
Exactly. Oh, like I wish I would have just like really been in that moment.
Yeah. Because it's fun. Right. But in the moment I was just like, oh my God. And
because you just want it to be over, like you're a normal person, you're like freaking out, you're like, oh my God, like.
And for me too, I traced a lot of this too, because I've actually done a lot of work on this with myself. Is what is the thing that is making me nervous? Like what, like really understanding myself. And for me, it was always other people's opinions, 100%. And that's, I think that's really common
in
life.
Spectate.
And
where people are watching it.
Yeah. And knowing where you come from too, like knowing your background, like that makes a lot of sense because you've been concerned about other people's opinions.
That's what I was raised to be concerned about.
Right.
You know,
me too.
Yeah. I mean, that was literally, and for a variety of reasons, also just being in a performance based thing, but also my dad was a judge in a small town. Mm-hmm. My family, we were literally a John Grisham novel. Mm-hmm. And I'm not kidding. There is a John Grisham novel about my hometown.
Yeah.
And my father is in it. But anyway, so it was that kind of like, what are other people going to think? How's this going to go? And what I discovered, like in high school, I did a really big competition when I was a freshman, and it was for a good amount of money for a high schooler. It was all instruments, all things. And I was not expected to do well. And I didn't expect myself to do well because I was young. I had nothing to lose. I think similar to what you've said about, you know, getting onto the show. Yeah. And so I went in and I was like, fuck it. No one's going to be disappointed in me if I don't win this. And I won it.
Dude, there is something to be said about having nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Because, like, when my parents died, I was like, well, fuck it. I have nothing to lose. Like, I have to go for it.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I did because it's made my life so much more meaningful for just, like, not keeling over.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I discovered was I did the same competition the next year and then the next year.
4B.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it was, oh, she's supposed to win. Because she's
that
won
changes
it.
Everything,
though. And I was miserable. I
but
was
now
so
you have
nervous.
To switch your
I
thought,
could
your
not...
mental thought from like one thing to like now everyone expects this from you.
I wasn't
Which
the dark horse anymore.
From, like, the world.
Yeah, I wasn't
really,
the dark horse anymore. It was
that's a lot of pressure.
It stressed me. It stressed me.
What bothers
out.
Me is like so many like the general public is just so focused on like well they're making the money they got the super they got all these nice toys and stuff and like they expect you to be okay with like this amount of hurt. And that's not fair. And I think just because you're making money and you have all this limelight doesn't mean that you get to be treated like shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think the general public, it's like, oh, I'm supposed to just treat them differently because they got everything that I want. And it's like, no, they fucking worked their asses off.
So Fernando, because you guys don't know, he's a first generation American. Like he grew up like in a really
like
rough
poor
setting.
Poor.
And he has worked very hard, like put himself through school to graduate and become an engineer. And,
that's awesome.
You know, his goal is to become to build a legacy for his family moving forward. Okay. And like that's a big reason he and I connect is because we both had to fight for what we've
got.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing handed for sure. Mm-hmm. I was curious. You're talking about the professor side.
Mm-hmm.
What's harder to give people tough love or to be their cheerleader?
I don't know.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. We'll catch you next week.